Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
We're studying through James 2, and we've been taking a close look at verse 8, where James says, "Love your neighbor as yourself," is the royal law of Scripture. And we've looked at how important that law is and what a high standard it is. But now, let's turn our attention to the object of our love. You can't love everyone in the world the way you love yourself, so who counts as your neighbor?
Who is it exactly that I'm supposed to love with this incredibly high standard of love? Answer, my neighbor. Now, who is that? I mean, there's a limit to how many people I can take care of, right, in this world. I can't just take care of everybody in the whole planet. So who counts as my neighbor? Somebody actually asked Jesus that exact question one time. And the reason he asked the question is because he wanted to justify himself because of that very thing. He's like, I don't know. You gotta whittle down the definition of neighbor here. So in Luke 10:25 says, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, what is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Man, he got it right on, didn't he? And that's what Jesus said, verse 8. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But verse 9, but he wanted to justify himself. And so he asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? See that? I've spent most of the sermon so far this morning trying to persuade you what a high standard love your neighbor as yourself is. Because our culture has dumbed it down so far that nowadays it just takes a lot of doing to show people that it's a high standard. But this guy wasn't affected by our culture, so he knew immediately that this is an impossibly high standard. He could just tell that right away. It's obvious to him that loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, that standard, by that standard, on Judgment Day, he's going to come up condemned if he just takes it literally. He understands that loving your neighbor as yourself is such an incredibly high standard. Nobody can do that. Nobody could do unless, and at this point, he does what so many people do when they run into something hard in the Bible. He tries to reinterpret one of the words to make it more reasonable. Some people do that with this, with the word love. They try to redefine the word love to make it so it doesn't involve emotion. Some people go after the phrase as yourself, and they twist that around and make this command a little more manageable. But this guy, he's going after the word neighbor. That's the word he wants to redefine. He's just sure that Jesus will give him some sort of modified definition of neighbor so that on Judgment Day, he'll come out okay. Basically, what this man wants to do is turn this command that's required him to love his neighbor as himself into a command that says something like, love the people you already love. Love the people you want to love. He's a Jew. No doubt he had nothing in his heart but disdain for Samaritans. And so he's got to get around that somehow. He still wants to go to heaven. And so he wants Jesus to affirm, yeah, the word neighbor doesn't include Samaritans. It's not going to, basically. This guy, what he's doing here is he wants to justify his favoritism. You see that? He's showing favoritism and he wants to justify that, just like the people in James 2. He's got love for certain people. Certain kinds of people, and he wants to be selective in his love. He wants Jesus to affirm that as a valid way of carrying out the royal law of Scripture. He wants some kind of interpretation of neighbor that will allow his favoritism to continue and still get credit for fulfilling the love your neighbor command. So Jesus answers that by telling this guy a story about a guy that gets mugged. And the guy gets mugged, he's in the ditch, he's dying, he's left for dead, and several Jewish religious leaders walk, they see him, and they just cross the road, walk right on by. And then, verse 33, he tells that story, that's the first half of the story, and then he says, a Samaritan. As soon as he says that, this guy is listening like, ugh, Samaritan. And he says, a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and he saw him, and he took pity on him. And he bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine. He put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn to take care of him. The next day, he took 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you have. Now, Here's where Jesus gives this guy a direct answer to his question. Remember the guy's question? Who counts as my neighbor? That's the question that Jesus is answering with his story. So Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, then he says this, verse 36. Which of these three, the two religious leaders or the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert in the law says, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now, do you see how Jesus turned his question around? His question is, who counts as my neighbor? And Jesus' answer is, it's the wrong question. The question is, am I functioning as a neighbor? Am I functioning as a neighbor? And Jesus was teaching a very important principle about love. This is critical. Real love depends not on the object, but on the subject. Subject being the one doing the loving. The object is the one who gets loved. Subject is the one doing the loving. So you're the subject. And you're the one doing the loving. And the responsibility then, when it comes to love, is on you, not on the object. Not on the person being loved. See, our natural tendency is the reverse. Our natural tendency is to put all the responsibility on the object. That's what this guy was doing. Who's my neighbor? Who rises to the level of counting as being worthy of my love? And that's the way we naturally are. You have to be lovable. If you're lovable, I'll love you. If you're lovely, I'll love you. You have to be beautiful. You have to be attractive. You have to be wealthy. You have to have the right skin color. You have to be the right shape. You have to measure up to some level, and then I will love you. That's our natural form of object-oriented love. But that's not what God's love is like. His is subject-oriented. It's his nature to love. He just loves. That's what he does. Another way to describe this is our love should be like a light bulb instead of a laser. A laser picks and chooses. I'll point there. That person will receive some light. That person will, and you just point at it. And so only certain objects receive the light. But a light bulb, it just shines everywhere, right? All you have to do to get the light from a light bulb is just be in the room, right? And you get it. That's the way God's love is like. It just goes out in every direction. The wicked and the righteous, they all get it. The sun rises on the wicked and the righteous. The rain falls on everybody. And then he says, we're to be like that in Matthew 5. We're to be like that. So that we can be sons of our Father in heaven. Your love should be like light bulb love. Just all people have to do to be loved by you is just be in the room and they'll get it. So if you want to know who your neighbor is whoever's near you.
Are there some areas where your love has been object-oriented? Pointed like a laser only at lovable, deserving people, instead of simply being a function of your nature, radiating out from you in every direction like God's love? There are some instances where special love is given to certain people. That's not wrong. Obviously, you should love your wife more than your neighbor's wife and in a completely different way. And God gives special love to certain people as well. But generally speaking, it's God's nature to love. And every person in the world benefits from that. Give some thought to whether you need to make any changes so that your love is more like God's.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.